Welcome to the world of the art on the Oosterdam. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of close attention. You don't even have to whisper, but it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures aboard. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Oosterdam today and show you some of the art treasures.
And these art treasures are valued in the millions of dollars. This is a significant collection of antique, maritime, and contemporary art. Now, while we tell you a little bit about the art collection and how we're going to do this tour, why don't you take a seat and get comfortable, and we'll point out some of the important things that you need to know to enjoy this tour to the fullest.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of most of Holland America Line's ships. He has incorporated art and antiques into the decor, and everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even ceilings and floors, are meant to be part of the whole look and feel of the ship. The art is here to enhance your experience.
Stijn Kruse, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important art is to the company.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Think of this cruise as a visit to a great estate that has some wonderful works of art. You might see a piece you really like on your way to dinner or one of the lounges. Well, here, you can live with it and really begin to appreciate it. On this art tour, we'll give you an introduction to some of the works and reveal just how important the art is to Holland America Line.
Here's Frans Dingemans.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art. To bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in, the way you do that is basically following your own heart.
And since this is a museum-quality art collection we'll be visiting today, if you find that a piece is missing from the collection, well, most probably it's being restored or maybe on loan. Most likely, it will be back in place for your next cruise. Chapter 2, Observation Deck, Deck 10, Forward. In addition to the blending of old and new that you'll find on the ship, you know, works by contemporary European artists as well as nautical antiques, you'll find another theme, the sea. Dingemans pays homage to Holland America's seagoing history of more than 130 years. In works throughout the ship, he recalls the 17th and 18th centuries when Dutch mariners sailed the world and brought back furniture and pieces of art from all the places they went.
Now, to begin the tour, you should be on Deck 10 in the Explorations Café. Walk into the crow's nest on the right. It's a lounge that serves as an observation room by day. By night, you can enjoy live piano music. Now, in the crow's nest, near the portside entrance, is an interesting artifact. It's a dry card compass from the America's yacht Galatea. It's dated from the late 19th century.
Now look down. Here, Frans Dingemans has captured a stunning motif in the inlaid wood and marble floor.
Continue around to the port side of the crow's nest, and you'll see the large rigging master's wooden ship model in the display case. Now, this dates from 1810 and is so detailed that it includes copper riveted plates on the bottom of the hull. Time to move on from the crow's nest. Walk back out and take the elevator or the stairs down to Deck 9, the Lido deck. If you take the stairs, you're in for a treat. You'll see a wall map from Paris showing the Western Hemisphere as cartographers thought it looked in 1788. Notice the hand-colored engraving in the political divisions at the time. Maps from this period were as much works of art as accurate depictions of geography.
Sometime during your cruise, you should explore all three of the ship's main stairwells. Each one has serious art at every level. But for now, let's explore Deck 9, the Lido deck. Chapter 3, Lido Deck, Deck 9, Forward.
Before you walk outside, Notice the large laughing head by the elevators. It has grapes for hair and a devilish smile. It may look like stone or plaster, but it's not. This piece was created by Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Roger, using a material they invented called Eco Deco. It's fireproof, biodegradable, and can be made to look like anything from metal to stone. It's the perfect material for a ship, light and fireproof. As you walk about the ship, keep your eye out for things that look like stone. Chances are, they're Eco Deco. Now turn around and go out onto the Lido pool deck. Now look at the statues of king penguins at the end of the Lido pool. The grouping is slightly larger than life size. The penguins are standing on a white resin iceberg that shines like snow in the sunlight.
They weigh almost a ton. They were done by British sculptor Susanna Holt. Holt says she chose the king penguins because of their expressive body language. She loves animals, and she's recognized as one of the finest sculptors working with animals today.
Susanna told us that trying to do research on the king penguins was really tough. She found some remarkable photos of the birds, but spent most of the time at the San Diego Zoo, just watching them move. She tells us about it. Susanna, for the Oosterdam, you have a grouping of penguins, king penguins from Southern Ocean near Antarctica, or I guess everything is near Antarctica if you're in the Southern Ocean. But tell us a little bit about how they came about.
Well, Holland America wanted me to do subject matter that was specifically involved with the ocean. And, of course, king penguins are to do with the ocean, and they're the most comical and endearing bird that we know. They flirt and argue with each other all day long. The king penguin chicks start out with copious amounts of fluffy brown feathers, and then they develop black and white and gray feathers as they mature. In fact, when Captain Cook first saw the chicks of the king penguin, he thought that they were a different species altogether, as they appeared larger than their parents. King penguin has spectacular orange markings on its head. They have a sort of air of self-importance and pomposity as they strut around.
You've mounted these penguins on what looks, for all intents and purposes, like an iceberg.
Yes, I mounted them that way so that we could create a height and you can look up at them. This was a grouping of penguins interacting with each other in different stages of their life, so to speak. And there is a pair with a chick.
Now, continue walking aft and notice the fanciful fish designs in the floor and the smiling bronze dolphin bar stools at the Lido bar. Imagine, you can sit on a dolphin's tail.
Also, notice the seashell design in the ceiling. All around the Lido deck, you're reminded of the sea.
Chapter 4, Lido Deck, Deck 9, Midships.
Continue walking aft. As you enter the hallway leading into the Lido restaurant, on the right, you'll see the painting Sea Mammals by contemporary Dutch artist Milan Rubelli. Today, Rubelli lives in Amsterdam, but he grew up on the Adriatic coast and he used to go diving there as a child. He observed the sea life and noticed how the light creates a special effect when it penetrates the water. In his work, he tries to take people on an inner voyage.
It looks like you're under the water to me. Now continue walking aft into the Lido restaurant, turn left, and notice the colorful mural. This is Fruits and Flowers by Robert Kushner.
This assemblage of mushrooms, peppers, and tomato slices is one of the more important works on the ship. If you sense a similarity here to a Chinese screen, well, you're not far off. Kushner holds that with the belief in Chinese painting that the moment the brush touches the canvas, it's final. When he paints, he lays his canvases flat on the floor.
Now continue aft and exit the Lido restaurant. Go out onto the aft pool deck. See the four whimsical chairs at the far end of the pool? Well, they're not really for sitting and sunbathing in. They're creations of one of Holland's best-known contemporary artists, Jan Snoek. We visited him in his studio in Holland several times, and he's one of the most charming men you'll ever want to meet. Chapter 5, Lido Deck, Deck 9, Aft. Now cross over to the starboard side of the ship and re-enter the Lido restaurant. Turn left and take either the stairs or the elevator down to Deck 2, the lower promenade deck. Now again, if you descend the stairs, you are in for a very special treat.
That's because on the different levels of the aft staircase, you'll find copies of prints from the 19th century Nagasaki School of Painting. During the Edo period, at 1603 to 1867, Nagasaki was one of Japan's major port cities, and merchants from the Dutch East India Company became a regular fixture in port. Prints from the Nagasaki School depict scenes from this lively import-export center.
If you don't want to explore the aft staircase now, you gotta come back sometime during your cruise. These prints are fascinating. Some of them depict Nagasaki Harbor, one depicts a Dutchman with a long pipe. We even know the name of one of the men depicted. Now see if you can find a print with a man in a gold-embroidered coat. That's Isaac Tsing. He lived in Japan for 4 years, he studied the local culture, and he later became ambassador to China.
Chapter 6, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Aft.
Well, whether you take the elevator or the stairs, when you get to Deck 2, the lower promenade deck, head toward the lower vista dining room. Now, opposite the dining room doors, you'll see a 17th century gilt wood reliquary from Italy. Now, these were important, as every church had to have a few relics around. The cases, it turns out, were often more valuable than the contents, and certainly more beautiful.
Well, now, you may not want to enter the dining room right now, but there are some important paintings to see the next time you come here for a meal. On the walls near the back of the room, you'll see a series of still lifes painted by Giuseppe Leonardi. He's a contemporary Italian artist who lives in Tuscany. I swear, these paintings are good enough to eat. My gosh, they look lifelike, only giant.
To continue this tour, walk forward from the Vista dining room, bearing to your right. You'll pass a small room just before the Explorer's Lounge. Now, if it isn't occupied, take a moment to see the art inside. There are drawings done by Frank Lloyd Wright of Falling Water, one of his most famous houses. The other is by Wright and depicts a decorative carving from the old Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. Now continue forward and you'll be at the Explorer's Lounge. On your left is Maritime Relations by Kees Muller, a huge painting that's reminiscent of a 17th century Dutch seascape.
Okay, now where do you think this painting is set? I think it's maybe supposed to be someplace in Indonesia.
Well, it could be London, but it's got a palm tree in it.
Yeah, I think probably not London because of the palm trees.
It's a little fanciful.
It is fanciful, but it captures that period in Dutch art.
Now walk forward, and when you get to the far end of the Explorer's Lounge, look down. You'll see a painted glass stylized depiction of a ship. Now this was found on a pottery dish in Turkey in the early 17th century. There's art everywhere you look on the Oosterdam, and often in unexpected places. As you continue forward, look to your left. This case holds something really interesting. Two hardwood architectural facades from India from the 18th century. Now imagine whole cities with these carved wood facades. Today, they're museum pieces. Between them, now don't get too excited, Elizabeth, that gorgeous necklace with forms symbolizing happiness and holiness covers all your bases, is a 19th century reproduction.
Oh.
Yeah, well, but it's worth a lot of money, even though it's a reproduction, because it's a very good reproduction. Spend a moment and look at the detail and the gold work.
It is gorgeous. Gosh, can you imagine what the original was like? Ah!
20 karat gold, incidentally. Very, very good gold.
Chapter 7, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Midships.
Continue forward along the hallway. On your right is the pinnacle bar, and to your left is the pinnacle grill.
You can look into the restaurant to see the backlit mural, Civic Guard. Now, it might look familiar because Franz Hals did a lot of this kind of painting. He could show many civic figures in a banquet setting rather than as just a row of portraits.
And Rembrandt used this with the night watch he showed all his people in a procession. These were groups of people who paid for this painting, and they each wanted to look their best.
So, they might be a little more flattering than they were in real life. We talked about unexpected things you're going to see on this ship. In a little alcove to the left of the restaurant entrance, you'll see a jewel-encrusted nautilus shell. Now, that's one of the works of Rodolfo Sanz.
I went to Buenos Aires the last time. I said, well, I have an opportunity to make something in Buenos Aires. Finally, I'm come back with material, with everything. I'm start to work. It was so really difficult to have a big object and you need to transform a big object. More in this kind of work, because, you know, it's a little details and little things. Same object, but in the same times, different.
Chapter 8, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Midships.
Okay, resist the temptation to linger here and continue walking to the atrium. Now we're going to take a short detour, walk down the steps, and look at the Andy Warhol portrait of Queen Beatrix across from the front office. It's one of four Warhol painted of the Queen. There's one on each Vista-class ship, the Westerdam, Oosterdam, Zuiderdam, and the Noorderdam. And it's one of the few complete sets in existence. Warhol also did portraits of Chairman Mao and Princess Grace, along with other members of royalty. I think he also did a Campbell's soup can, if I remember correctly. If you want to see all four portraits of the Queen, well, start booking your cruises now.
He was all about brands. You know, Campbell's soup and Queen's royalty. It's just another brand, I guess.
Well, and speaking of brands, well, this is a really interesting thing. There's a story behind this silver ship that you'll see in the display case across from the atrium bar. It's just around the corner from Queen Beatrix. This exceptionally fine example dates from the 19th century, and it's called a silver Neff.
Now, Neff?
Neff. Neff, as in the men who say neep. No,
Neff.
A silver Neff. And the original Neffs, that's N-E-F-S, I think that's French, were used in the 14th century for a very practical purpose. Salt, table cutlery, and seasonings were stored in the Neff, which was kept locked. A very trusted servant would bring it to the table and unlock it in front of the lord of the dinner. That way, the lord, well, he knew that no one would poison his seasonings.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of a high price there for that Neff. Well, it does give new meaning to pass the salt.
It sure does.
Chapter 9, Main Deck, Deck 1, Midships.
Just ahead of the atrium, you'll come to the midship staircase on Deck 1. Here, elevators on each side of the ship can whisk guests up and down on the outside of the ship. Beyond the etched glass doors, you can see the underwater world photo murals of Mariana Vermeend. And that's through the etching, so it's a very interesting effect. As you go in the elevator, you'll pass through different levels of what is a coral reef. Now, this is actually a composite photo mural of diving photographs that Mariana has taken all over the world. She lives in Australia and has a passion for diving and photography. And by showing her photos, she hopes to make people aware of the importance of protecting the underwater world.
I think it's very cool because as you go up and down in the elevator, well, you go underwater if you're going down and you go above the water if you're coming up. It's very cool.
Chapter 10, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Midships.
And in fact, this might be a good time to try out the elevators. Take them one flight up to Deck 2, and then head for the starboard side of the ship.
Start to enter the Queen's Lounge and Culinary Arts Center, but continue left. You'll enter a passageway occupied by a couple of familiar faces.
Now, well, these are two of my heroes. The Laurel and Hardy photos show the famous duo in scenes from The Crazy World of Laurel and Hardy. It was made by Jay Ward and released in 1964 and exposed a whole new audience to these comic geniuses. They were silent film stars, but they made the transition to sound movies. Together, they made 106 films. To give you some idea of their importance, they began in English music hall around the turn of the century, and it was just a remarkable pairing of talent. The pair perfected a style of visual comedy, widely copied even today.
Well, at the end of the hallway, in a small display case, is a simple organic sculpture. It's by famed photographer Man Ray. Man Ray began his career in 1918 in New York, and maybe he reached his greatest fame in the 1930s when his photographs appeared in Harper's Bazaar. Many of the photo techniques we've come to accept today, like solarization, were his creations.
Now, you might think that as you walk through the Northern Lights, it's a work of art in itself. At night, this room is a great dance club. But take a moment and try and figure out how that upholstery actually lights up and sparkles as you walk around the room.
It's like you're in a world of stardust.
And as you exit the Northern Lights, well, the casino will be to your left. Don't go there right now. You can admire your winnings later. I suppose that's an art form in and of itself. Yep. Think about the artistic engraving on those heads of presidents. You know, the ones on the money you get when you cash in your chips.
Oh, very artistic.
Right now, head for the sports bar. It's right in front of you. Check out the exact reproduction of the America's Cup. It was made by the New Zealand Mint in 2003. The trophy is still called the America's Cup, and for years it was won only by America. But now several other countries have won the most prestigious trophy in yachting. And don't miss the painted Indian elephant. It's from Sri Lanka.
I don't think anybody can miss this. It's huge. It looks like a wheeled toy.
It was actually pulled in processions celebrating events in the life of Buddha, probably by very strong men. It weighs a lot.
Chapter 11, Promenade Deck, Deck 3, Forward.
Take the forward stairs from here or the elevator up to the promenade deck, Deck 3.
And if you've missed your daily walk, if you take the stairs, again, you'll be rewarded for your exercise. In the forward staircase on each landing, you'll notice a large marine painting. They are oils and painted by one of the world's leading marine painters, Captain Stephen J. Card.
Now, it'll take some time to see all of Captain Card's paintings, and if you'd prefer, just advance your iPod art tour to the next chapter, and then you can come back and see Captain Card's paintings at another time.
Now, it helps to know that each painting is of an historical ship in the Holland America Line. Each painting is meticulously detailed and accurate for its time.
Captain Card told us that each painting he does is like visiting an old friend. You know, he grew up in the 60s in Bermuda, and he saw all the classic Holland America Line ships because they all called in Bermuda. And being in Bermuda is what got Card his start as a marine painter. He grew up with a love of the sea and was a navigator, sea captain, and harbor master. Then, one day in 1984, when Card was home in Bermuda, he received a call from Nico van der Vorm, then chairman of Holland America Line. Van der Vorm had seen a painting Card had done of a ship and asked him if he'd be interested in painting the 1980s-era Noordam and New Amsterdam, as well as a new portrait of the line's flagship, the Rotterdam. Stephen Card soon learned that his maritime background helped his new endeavor. "I have a knowledge of the sea and of how ships operate," he says, "and that enables me to create accurate paintings of the ships." His paintings hang in the collections of several museums and on all the Holland America Line ships.
During your cruise, take time to really look at Card's paintings in this staircase. You'll discover some interesting details. Explore this forward staircase at your leisure later.
There are some really interesting Card paintings here, and we caught up with Captain Card in, where of all places, Bermuda. And he has some thoughts on his paintings of the Oosterdam.
With the Oosterdam, my commission was to paint six paintings, and Oosterdam was the first ship to use that name in the Holland America history. So I created a painting of the new Oosterdam, and she's shown in Norwegian waters with some mountains in the background. It's an imaginary scene. It's not based on anything that's real. And for the other five paintings, I did the Oosterdijk, which was a Holland America freighter that used the Ooster part of the name, and she's shown coming in through the entrance to the new waterway up to Rotterdam. And then I had to pick in four other ships. So I went for ships that I thought were just interesting and attractive to paint. So I included the Leerdam, which was a freighter, some passenger ship that ran from Rotterdam down to Mexico with several hundred immigrant passengers tucked away in the tween decks. The New Amsterdam of 1938 is an old favorite of mine, and I've done a painting of hers in the Panama Canal. She made a round South America cruise in her first year in operation, and she's shown in the Panama Canal. There's a painting of the Rheindam II in the Suez Canal. She was a North Atlantic liner, but in the 60s, she made a couple of voyages down to Australia carrying immigrants, and the painting shows her in the canal. And the last painting in the series is the Rotterdam 5, and she's seen from the deck of the Maasdam. Rotterdam was the magnificent flagship of Holland America from 1958 until 1997. Amazing ship, one of my favorites. And that made up the collection for the Oosterdam.
Okay, Paul, I have a question. Now, this ship that we're on is the Oosterdam. What does Oosterdam mean?
Well, each of the Vista-class ships are named after the four points of the compass. Oosterdam is east, Westerdam is, well, west, Noordam is north, and Zuiderdam is south. Easy, isn't it?
Chapter 12, Promenade Deck, Deck 3, Forward.
Whether you've taken the elevator or staircase, you're now on the Promenade Deck, Deck 3. From the forward staircase, head aft down the hallway and continue walking aft, bearing to your right through the shops. You'll be in the atrium.
The globe in the middle of the atrium is by Waterford, the great Irish crystal company.
And Billy Canning, the chief designer for Waterford and the man who created the globe with a team of workmen, you know it took almost 6 months to create that globe, tells us what's so special about it. Billy, how did you come to create the centerpiece for the Oosterdam?
The Oosterdam was something we decided we'd do because in terms of the world and the oceans of the world is where Holland American ships ply their trade effectively, and is where the passengers of the Oosterdam will travel. So we wanted to make the ocean crystal. So what we did was we made a huge 7-foot diameter globe, which in terms, in relative terms to the, it's actually bigger than the Times Square ball. So it was one of the biggest, it is the biggest globe we've ever done. Inside it then the oceans change colour from green, azure to blue. And it rotates, obviously.
Billy, you said that this was a very, very complex project. How long did it take to create the globe centerpiece for the Oosterdam?
I would say from start to finish, 6 months. Yes, of actual work, it came in stages because there was a lot of metal work, obviously, and the crystal had to marry, but the crystal aspect of it would have been 6 months, yeah. Quite time-consuming and very, very intricate work because, as I said, the no panel horizontally was the same, except on each hemisphere, you know, so it was quite a challenge.
This globe is 7 feet in diameter, the largest globe that Waterford has ever made. I understand the whole assembly weighs about 3 tons. And Billy, how do you go about cutting crystal for something that's so large?
Well, it's cut on wheels. It's not like wood where you can chip away at a chisel or knock chips out of it. This is actually done on a wheel, and it's shaped using a wheel of different angles and of different, you can have from a flat wheel to an angled wheel. Your diamond cut is an angled wheel, generally at about 90 degrees. So the deeper the cut, the more reflection you'll get back out. Especially when you put light on it, it has there's a huge play there of how you best affect a dispersion of light in the case of the globe to how the light plays with the crystal, you know. Certainly when you combine the two elements of light and crystal, it doesn't matter if it's a small bedside lamp to a piece like this, it's a huge challenge, you know, and it's science and it's nature almost, you know, with the two elements, you know.
Chapter 13, Promenade Deck, Deck 3, Midships.
Now turn right into the ocean bar, turn right again, and go to the end of the room. You'll see a bronze statue of Henry Hudson. Paul, why is Henry Hudson special to Holland America Line?
Ah, well, his ship, the Half Moon, is the logo of Holland America Line. It actually appears on a weather vane that is in front of the Hotel New York, which is the restored headquarters building of Holland America Line on the Wilhelmina Cod in Rotterdam.
So Henry Hudson not only, well, sort of discovered Hudson Bay
and New York and various other parts of the East Coast of America,
and is a very distinguished explorer in his own right, but he does have a special relationship with Holland America Line.
He was actually English, but he sailed for the Dutch. His goal, like so many others of his day, was to find the Northwest Passage to China. He never did that, but his small ship, the Half Moon, reached Newfoundland on June 25th, 1609. He sailed down the coast, and by September, he was off what is now New York. He soon discovered that the Hudson River was not a passage to China, turned around, and headed for home. He was back the next year, decided to sail north, and discovered what we call today Hudson Bay. His crew mutinied, he was abandoned in a small boat, never to be heard from again. It was another 300 years before the Northwest Passage was found. His boat, the Half Moon, continues to sail the seas as the logo of Holland America Line.
From the ocean bar, walk forward and turn left into the area where the forward staircase and elevators are.
Notice the skinny bronze figures? Well, they depict some of the standard characters from Commedia dell'arte, the improvisational theater style that originated in Italy in the 16th century. Well, actually, you can still see Commedia today, like in Venice. Actors played stock characters, like the ones depicted here. Can you find Harlequin? He usually wears brightly colored costumes, supposed to signify patched clothing, or Pierrot. That's my favorite. He's in a loose-fitting, clown-like outfit.
Remember the husband and wife team who discovered Echo Deco? Gilbert Labigre and Corinne Roger created these sculptures, too. Gilbert studied art in Paris and designed sets for the Versailles Opera and for ballets for Rudolf Nureyev. Corinne is an artist and sculptor in her own right. The couple lives near Pisa in Italy, where they create all sorts of art. Now walk into the elevator area and look at the elevator doors. Labigre and Roger designed these as well. They're cast aluminum, and the designs were inspired by New York's Art Deco masterpiece, the Chrysler Building. If you picked up an iPod, well, it's time to return it. So take the forward elevators all the way back to the Explorations Cafe on Deck 10, Observation Deck.
If you've enjoyed this tour, and you want to learn more about the art on board the other ships in the Holland America Line fleet, well, you can download the tours for all the ships as podcasts for your personal iPod. Check out the Holland America Line website at hollandamerica.com.
But this doesn't have to be the end of your art experience aboard Oosterdam. We've tried to give you a sense of how extensive the collection aboard the Oosterdam is and how much fun it can be exploring it. And to give you a little challenge, here's some homework. Yes, I did say homework, but we promise it will be fun. If you want to explore on your own, here are some things to look for. A rare six-valve Belgian trombone. Imagine learning to play that. A bronze of a girl braiding her hair and, oh well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.